Hideyoshi and Yashimoto. They were a quarter mile from the moldering remains of the bullet train. Risking a glance behind him, Bryant's guesstimate put the cloud of locusts at less than a mile away. The rusting metal of the train was only 100 paces off, but the closest insects were already pattering to earth around Ryan, setting on the twigs and branches of the bushes. The sky had grown darker, so that there were no shadows. Mashashigo was still in the lead, the slight figure seeming to flow effortlessly over the ground. Jack was close second, with the rest of the runners strung out over 100 yards or more of the narrow trail. As he got closer to the train, Ryan was able to see the extent of the damage. In addition to the stained panels, several of the windows were broken. It was now obvious that it had been derailed, probably during a Skydark quake. It was high off the ground, but the corroded remains of several emergency ladders gave easy access to the interior. The Shogun reached a ladder. Once up the ladder, the Shogun reached back immediately to offer a hand to the albino teenager. Now the locusts were falling from the sky all around the companions, several of them landing on their backs and in their hair. Ryan ignored them, concentrating on getting aboard the old train, then helping the rest of the group. Most of the segment had dropped their weapons. They still struggled towards safety through the cloud of locusts. There were so many pulped bodies on the track that it had become slippery and dangerous. Ryan saw that the insects were like large grasshoppers or cicadas, pale green and about 3 to 4 inches in length.
Gaia! Living nightmare time!
It was becoming difficult to see the rest of the party as they struggled toward the bullet train.
Come on, Doc! With all due haste!
Doc's grizzled hair was dotted with a dozen locusts.
By the three Kennedys! This is exceeding high on the list of the most disgusting experiences of my long and eventful life!
Yashimoto appeared from the fog of insects, hesitating as he saw that the hand offered to him belonged to Ryan Cotter, but he finally seized it. He was hauled aboard, Hideyoshi right behind him. The Sekmen were lumbering out of the seething cloud, brushing frantically to remove the locusts from their clothes and hair. Ryan moved forward into the nose cone of the bullet train, peering out through the smeared armor glass, seeing the land around disappearing under wave upon wave of the voracious insects.
Oh, it's dreadful!
At least they aren't killers.
You speak too soon.
Mashashiga pointed to where one of his Sekmen had ignored the warning and had stopped about 50 paces off, barely visible, looking as if he'd become terminally disoriented. He stood with his arms flailing at the air, his eyes staring wildly.
I go help him.
Ryan gripped Jack by the arm.
No. He's dead already. You stay here, Jack, or you'll go under with him. It's too late. Shut the damn door!
The wretched guard was on his knees, his face masked with the locusts, dozens of them forcing their way into his open mouth, crawling up his nose, suffocating him. As the rest watched in horror, he slipped down and rolled on his back, where his whole twitching body became carpeted with insects.
How long are they going to stay here?
Normally, it takes only an hour or so to strip all vegetation from a region. Once they have fed, then they will move on again.
A tree collapsed outside. The train was coated with the insects, all of the windows covered in a shifting layer of gray-green.
Ugh, makes my skin crawl, like being inside a huge creature.
Hideyoshi turned to Christie.
It was a good idea to run here. We saw what happened to a man caught in the out-of-doors open. It might have been more dying.
It was an hour and 35 minutes by Ryan's wrist chron before the uncountable swarm of locusts completed its feeding and took to the air again. As soon as the insects were gone, the Shogun led the way out of the security of the bullet train. Thousands of the insects had died during their brief stay, their brittle corpses blanketing the earth. The body of the Sekman, his mouth still jammed with dead locusts, lay where it had fallen. For a quarter mile around, the vegetation had been stripped, leaving only bare, broken branches and peeled stumps of trees. Nothing else remained.
Collect the body and we will return to the fortress.
After they passed through the high-wire fences and gates guarding the hunting zone, Christie seemed to sense something.
What is it, lover?
Get down!
The shooting came from the farther side of a wide-bottomed, shallow valley, the puffs of smoke visible among the dark green trees. Ryan had a look through the scope of the Stire, using the laser image enhancer, but the range was too great. The would-be assassins too well hidden in the woods.
Should we go after them?
They just slip away into the backcountry. Soon realize they're wasting ammo at this distance. Let's keep our heads down.
Yoshimoto stood, waving his drawn sword.
Dung-eating corn rats! Belly-crawling Gakugujo! Cowardly Metsuka! Yakuza scum who would fuck your own Obasad! Which of you will come and fight against Takai Yasemoto? Man to man! Hand to hand! Throat to throat! Sword to sword!
One of the rounds almost knocked the sword from his grasp, making him aware that he was still in some danger. With a final flourish, the samurai made a hasty retreat among the trees. As Ryan had predicted, the Ronin realized that they were wasting precious ammo. One by one, the Japanese and the Outlanders stood, brushing dried leaves and dust from their clothes.
They finished?
For the time being. But I'd be surprised if that was the last we ever heard from them. Don't strike me like men who are going to just leave and ride around the problem.
It is truly said, Kodo-san. But we will return to our humble home. Collect and train more men, and so it will go on.
Ryan couldn't understand why such an efficient man as the Shogun was so casual about the threat from the landless samurai, the Ronin. Later, the Outlanders sat in the dining hall by themselves before a surprisingly delicious supper.
Sniff the wonderful aroma of ginger from the rice. Do you wish to know a peculiarly interesting fact about water chestnuts?
Dazzle us, Doc.
The water chestnut is unique, I believe, among vegetables, in that it doesn't matter how you cook it, the texture will always remain the same. Fry it, or poach it, or broil it, or bake it. Doesn't make a jot or tittle of difference. Still have the same light, crunchy texture.
Well, if that don't beat all, Doc, where do you get all this wealth of useless information from? You must have been a leading trivia meister at Harvard.
Knowledge is power, Dr. Wyeth.
Well, you could have fooled me, Dr. Tanner. You never struck me as brimming with power.
Shows how little you know, madam.
Enough. All right, friends. Thought it was time we made some sort of a decision.
Stay or go?
Obviously, we're moving on sometime. Don't plan spending the rest of my life in this polluted shithole. The question is, when do we go?
Soon.
Jack was standing by the window, taking advantage of what little breeze was blowing, easing the swamping humidity that had squatted down over the palace in the past couple of hours.
Glad to hear that youth and beauty think along the same lines. This rotten air is playing old Nick with my breathing. Tubes rattle at night like the Mary Gloucester sinking in the Mindanao Trench.
Still wonder just what old Mashashig is up to. Solve the mystery of how they plan to use the gateways?
You got the ace in the line there. It's my worry, too.
You think they plan to take people back here as slaves? From Deathlands?
No. If anything, they got too many people here already, at a sickly land. I figure it's just the opposite. Suppose we stay here another couple of days. We all try to find out what we can. Jack, you might be able to ask little Issy about it.
Can try. Don't want to betray her.
You wouldn't be. There have been clues. But we need to be sure. If we got the chance to pick up a few grands, they might come in useful.
Take out the gateway after we've jumped? Wouldn't that be dangerous?
Maybe. But it's better to have the weapons and not use them than to need them and not have them.
Another traitorism, lover?
What else?
Smiling, Jack brought in Issy from the corridor.
Lord Shogun Mashashige invites his guests to witness play by visiting Kabuki troupe of actors.
Theater? Could be interesting. Will we go, Ryan?
Why not?
When is it?
1 hour. Jackie, you come now. Others can come later.
Go with her. Get what you can while you can, Jack.
At your heels you'll soon hear Time's winged chariot drawing near. And yonder all before you lie deserts of vast eternity. In other words, gather those damn rosebuds while you can, laddie.
Times, you don't know what the fuck you talk about, Doc.
We'll be down soon, Jack. Real soon.
Issy snatched at Jack's arm and shepherded him out.
Think she overheard us?
I doubt it. Not sure she's got more than two brain cells to rub together.
Pretty little girl.
Oh, yeah.